Hello there again. It's good to see you and good to greet you, and we're glad to have your family with us today. If there's not a family here at your family circle, I would just sit down and study with you anyway. If there is, why, let's everyone gather around the table or sit here in the front room and come to this final lesson in our home Bible study type series that we've entitled Living Oracles. It's all found in the book of James. And if you haven't read the Epistle of James while we've been bringing this to you, why, of course, we hope that you will. And we're going to look at the last chapter again today, chapter 5. And I want to read this expression, confess your faults. That's what it says in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm sure that this could be associated with physical healing. Some people have associated with spiritual healing. What I'm interested in, especially in this study today, is the idea of confessing your faults one to another. You know, this indicates that the Christian's going to need help in his Christian life. Now, we understand how true this is in physical life. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. I remember one time we were taking a trip home from a series of meetings across Interstate 70 in Missouri, the state of Missouri. And we were making good progress, everything's going well, and then the little automobile we was driving, why, it began to conk out, and we had to stop, and there was something wrong. There was a red light on the dash that I knew shouldn't be there, and, you know, I've always thought about this. I've never had a breakdown on the road that somebody hasn't come along to help me. And we sat there for a while, and trucks and cars kept going by, and finally, there was a man on a motorcycle, a young man that stopped, and he said, can I help you? You know, I've thought about those words a lot, and I said, yes, you certainly can, sir. There's a station up here about a mile and a half, and if you can have them send someone down here, we'll get us in all right. Well, it happened that we were able to get up to that station by coaxing that little car along, and we got in there, and, you know, everybody was willing to help us. The man had stopped at the station. The station attendant couldn't leave. He called a man with a wrecker, and he said he was going to come down and get you. And while we were talking, well, here this man came up with a wrecker. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that we know in everyday life that we need help, and when we get this help, you see, we really appreciate it. I really appreciated everything, and so did my wife that was done for us there. We didn't get home till the next day, but that was a small delay. Now, when the book says confess your faults one to another, I believe he's talking to Christians here, and he's telling us that we're going to make mistakes in life. And you know, a lot of times those mistakes are of a public nature. There are people who bring reproach upon the Lord. They bring reproach upon the church, and a lot of times they just turn their back upon the Lord, and they just seem to go their own way. But you know, there always seems to be the desire someplace in that person's heart, from the way they act, that they want somebody to help them. And the Bible has a built-in provision after we become a Christian. Now, as we're talking to you today, as though we were in your home studying with you, you may have the thought in the back of your mind, if you're not a Christian, well, I'd become a Christian, but what if I couldn't live it? You see, here's a point that tells us that we have a lot of help. You see, you're not asked to live the Christian life alone. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then he invites you and he invites me to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. You know, it's an interesting thing when you begin to think about it. People who have a lot of people going along with them through life, they think that they've got a lot of help. And they may have a lot of help from some people. This help may be strictly in a physical way. But where the help really comes is that we're never alone in Christ Jesus. I've talked to people who well, perhaps they were a lot like the prodigal. When things were going well for them, they had a lot of so-called friends, and then things got rough, and everything seemed to go down. I'm thinking, man, right now, he said, well, my family broke up. He said, I was divorced from my wife, and he said, I lost my job, and see, everything seemed to go wrong for him. Now, I'm not saying that this went wrong because he wasn't a Christian, but he seemed to think that he was so alone in the world. I've talked to people who were public figures, and maybe they traveled all over the country, and yet they looked upon their life as being lonely. And someone said, well, how in the world could that be lonely? Because this person's talking to hundreds of people maybe every day. And yet, you see, it was that night when the person got to his hotel room that there was a period of time in which he needed a rest, but he or she felt very lonely. And, you know, it means a great deal to realize that even though we're by ourselves, that we're never alone. We're with Christ Jesus. Now, what does this have to do with confessing your faults? Well, I can assure you, if you're not a Christian, that you're never going to be asked to live the Christian life alone when you become a Christian. The Lord is ever going to be with you. In other words, you always have a telephone in your life, so to speak. What do we mean? Well, you have that hotline to heaven. We talked about prayer. You can talk to your Heavenly Father in the dead of the night when everybody else is sleeping, so to speak. When all the telephone lines are silent, so to speak, you can still talk to God. You're never going to get that busy signal as a Christian. And then if you do fall flat on your face, and I'm not encouraging you to do this, but there are people going to do this, we have to face the reality. They're going to slip, they're going to fall, they're going to be overcome, they're going to be overtaken in a fault. Instead of turning to the Lord again, they may be on the run the other way. But this book tells us that we have an opportunity of coming back to Him. You see, there was a story tucked away in the 8th chapter of Acts that I'm sure you've read about Simon, who had been a sorcerer. He'd used black magic. Now, someone says, well, that person never become a Christian. There are some people who think that Simon was never converted, but I want to tell you, friends, he did the same thing that the people in Samaria did, that's found in the 12th verse of that 8th chapter of Acts. He believed the word and he was baptized. Now, I can't look into his heart. I'm not trying to make a final decision on that. But to say that this man was not a Christian, you know, we've got to prove that. Now, he did make a mistake. He committed a sin. He thought that he could take money and offer it here to the apostles and he'd have the same power that they would. He thought it could be bought with money. You know, there are a lot of people who think that everybody has a price. Everything has a price, and so you just put the money down, and it'll do great wonderful things for you. Well, I'm not going to doubt that people can do a lot of things with money in a physical way, and there are people who do things to help the Lord and His work in a spiritual way. But here's the point. He made a mistake. Peter said, your heart isn't right with God. He was a child of God. He had been born again. He was told to repent and pray, if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. Now, the reason I think that he had more going for him spiritually than sometimes people think, he asked the Apostle Peter to pray for him. So isn't it an interesting circumstance that if you're not a Christian and you're out here in sin, there may be a lot of people about you, but there is a real lonesome spot in your life. And as the brother told me one time who had left the Lord, he said, I tried to crowd God out of my life. And he said, you know, I got up one Sunday morning and he said, the last thing in my mind I wanted to do was go to service. But he said, I heard church bell. And he said, that reminded me of service. That reminded me, and I began to think, well, what are people doing in the church building? And he got that out of his mind because the church bell quit ringing. He turned the radio on. There was some religious music. And when he went outdoors, there were people going to service. And, you know, he just detested Sunday morning. He tried to do everything to crowd it out of his life. And when he was in the busy activities of making his living, well, he didn't have the Lord on his mind. But, you know, that whole thing changed. And I remember him telling me one time, well, I've come back to the Lord. And I was glad to hear that. Well, there are a lot of people who have never come to the Lord to begin with that have that very lonely spot in their life. And you may have that thought as we talk to you today. Well, the thing to do is to come home to the Lord, come back to Him. We're all prodigals in the sense that we've sinned, we've come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says that, and He invites us to come home. And I want to say as we talk to you today, if there are people who are a part of this broadcast today listening, who at one time in your life you obeyed the gospel, and you say, my, it's been a long time. It's been a long, long time since I've been to service. How long has it been since you opened the Bible? If you are a child of God, how long has it been since you prayed to God? Now, the book tells us that we're going to have help. And when it says confess your faults one to another, this doesn't just mean to the elders or to the deacons or to the preachers, whoever it might be from that standpoint, but this indicates, first of all, that we're going to talk this matter over with God and then talk it over with the brethren. There are people who have a desire to assist you and help you in coming back to the Lord. lot of times I talk to people and they say, well, when I was a youngster, I can remember my mother and father, as they say, taking me to church. And then they got clear away from it. Well, we want to say that these living oracles are words that can help you in this life. You do not need to walk alone. And as you come to the veil, the dark veil of the shadow of death, as you walk down through that valley, you don't have to walk alone. David spoke of it. I'll fear no evil, even though I walk through the dark shadow of the valley of death, for thou art with me. Well, it's been good to be with you, too, in this series. And we're going to have to leave your home now, but I hope we can come back. We've dealt with a home Bible-type series from the book of James, and if you have questions, send them in. We hope to be back next time to deal with a new series. But these 8 broadcasts that we brought to you are things that are based upon Christian living. We hope that's the life you want to live, because it will pay off with eternal life. May God bless us all as we follow His marvelous truth.